It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com and Alexa. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, on this fine Father's Day, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And I expected to see my partner in crime, Carrie Kasem, here with me. But apparently she isn't. I thought she was going to come and wish me a happy Father's Day. Carrie, are you out there somewhere?
I am out here somewhere.
What's up?
Happy Father's Day. Happy
Why aren't you Father's here? And I know you because you don't believe in this COVID stuff, so you would probably give me a hug. I wouldn't accept your hug, but it's Father's Day, and you'd probably say Happy Father's Day and say, do you believe in this BS? And I'd say yes, and then you'd say, well, then I can't hug you.
No, that's very true. But yeah, there's a reason why. I'll tell you off the air. But I'm here.
Wait a second. Off the air? We have no secrets.
I'm going to kill you.
Wait, is that a threat? Because I have a cop coming on, an ex-cop. And if that's a threat, I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to have our ex-cop tell us what we do about that.
Okay, well.
What, you have nothing to say? I've never heard you tongue-tied.
Oh, no. There is so much. You have no idea. And I will definitely tell you, but definitely have a wonderful Father's Day. I am going to see you. So you will be seeing me.
Well, I hope so. But you know that this is an important day for me, not because it's Father's Day, not because it's a day for me, but I really do take my job as a father very, very seriously. My priority in life is to be a shining example for my kids. And my priority is to guide them, to support them, to love them, to teach them right from wrong, and to be there for them. That's my priority in life. I'm there at all their games, recitals, and I miss meetings, conferences. And, you know, I just think that it's so important. Maybe it's easy for me to say because I have a certain lifestyle and I'm a lawyer and I'm an owner of a law firm. So maybe it's easier for me. But and maybe we'll hear about excuses that fathers have as to why they can't be there for their kids, whatever the color, white, black, or otherwise. But I really think it's important that you are a father and that you take it seriously and you be there for your kids through thick or thin. Don't put yourself ahead of them necessarily in order to make sure that they have a guiding light. And Carrie, I know you believe the same thing because your father, Casey Kasem, was the same kind of father, wasn't he?
He was. He is the reason why I am who I am today. He was my hero, and he did. He put aside everything and made his kids first priority. Even at the top of his game, he was always there for us. So, yes, and you were like that with your kids, too. I mean, you literally change your showtimes to be there, you know, for their important things. For them.
That's right. KBC is not important to me, but my kids are.
That's not what I meant.
And I learned that from my dad. I remember I took a video of my dad when he was sick in the hospital toward the end of his life. And in that video, and I have it forever, I remember him saying that my priority in my life has been my kids. And he said, I do everything for them. And I'll never forget that. I have it on tape and I will show my kids and I will show anyone who wants to see it that that's what my dad said at the end of his life. So I think that your dad, I'm sure if he would have been with you and if he would have been able to say it to you, Carrie, he would have said the same thing.
I agree. I do. I believe that with my whole heart. We were his life.
And we want to celebrate fathers today. We want to talk about fathers today. A little later in the show, Christy Katzman will be joining us. She is the star of Labor of Law, of Love. What did I say? Law. Gervie's Law, Gervie's Love.
Gervie's Law.
I'm changing the name of the show. It's not Gervie's Law anymore. It's Gervie's Love. Today's, it's a show of Labor of Love, which is on Fox Thursday nights at 9 p.m. And she is 41 years old, and she is looking for a father. She's a mother-to-be, and she had, when the show started, 15 dad-chillers. You like that? Dad-chillers? Not bachelors.
Dad-chillers. I like it.
And she has whittled them out, and we're in the middle of the season. We're going to try and get some inside information from Christy as she tries to find the father of her child or children. And I think that'll be real interesting talking to Christy. The show is hosted by Kristen Davis from Sex and the City, who I used to like on that show. So it should be interesting. That's later on. Christy Katzman, star of Labor of Love on Fox. Now, we have a different story. Now, I know you really like this first guest that we have on because I know you've seen his videos. Hasn't everyone? Everything he says seems to go viral. He's a former police officer. He is also a former football player at the University of Arizona. And he really came into his own from PragerU, Prager University. We've had Dennis Prager on the show, of course. And he did a video for Prager University in January 2020. It became well-known and well-respected. He is certainly outspoken, has a lot to say about Black Lives Matter, about police officers, about the black-white racial inequality issues. And I think that whatever he says, a lot of people want to listen to. He's the co-founder of Blexit with Candace Owens. And I want to welcome to Gervie's Law right now, Brandon Tatum. Brandon.
Hey, happy Father's Day and happy Father's Day to everybody that's listening.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, you brought up fathers. So as a good attorney, I'm going to go on that. We want to talk a little bit about your background because you have an interesting background with your father and your stepfather. There's so many great stories. When you were 8 years old, you were arrested. You were smoking marijuana at the tender age of 8 years old. Your father spoke to you. I want to hear about that. And then I want to hear about your stepfather who, unfortunately, obviously had a difficult life and a difficult death.
Yeah, so my father has been in our lives, me and my brother's lives, the entire time. He's a very strong individual. And if it wasn't for my father, then I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And it's not just cliche. I mean, you could just look at the success of my father. He's now retired from the fire department after serving for over 30 years. But that moment in my life when I was smoking marijuana in a vacant house, which surprisingly enough, my son is 9. And I could not even imagine him even knowing what marijuana is at this point in his life.
It's funny you say that, Brandon, because, you know, Brandon, I read that when I was reading that about you. My son is 7. Your son is 9. And happy Father's Day to you. But we're having the same experience. I can't even imagine it for my 7-year-old. Obviously, you've got 2 years on me with your son. But it's such a good point to bring up. And I don't care what color you are. The experience is the same that I just, like, shocked. And your experience growing up was very different.
Yeah, so after that moment, we were in a vacant house and we had gotten in trouble. You know, my dad gave me a very stern conversation. And it's funny thing is, normally you'll get a spanking after something like that. And this one was probably going to be a brutal one, especially embarrassing my father like that. But he didn't spank us. He set me down and we were driving home in a van and he gave me the conversation. He said, look, you'll never be an NBA player because that's what I really wanted to be. I wanted to be like Michael Jordan. He said, you'll never play in the NBA if you continue to do things that you don't act with integrity. And that really stuck with me. And from that point on, I pursued excellence in athletics and tried to do the right thing in everything that I did in my life.
Tell us how that has impacted your views, because a lot of people, especially in the black population, would say that you're out of line with some of the things that you say. But you came by it naturally. And tell us how your father's influence influenced what you talk about now on your YouTube channel, which everyone should check out, and your Twitter feed at The Officer Tatum.
Yeah, well, my dad raised us on conservative principles. Although it wasn't a sentiment that we were Republicans, we were Democrats at the time. And if you're black, where I grew up at, you have to be a Democrat. The Republicans are racist white people is what was taught to me. But my dad actually raised us on conservative principles, taught us about self-accountability, taught us about working hard, putting your best foot forward. And my dad never mentioned one time about racism holding you back. I never forget the statement my dad made was that when he first got on the fire department, there was some tension between races on the fire department, but he had mentioned that none of that will hold him back, and the people who disliked him because of his race will one day be working for him, and it ended up being true. He became the top firefighter in the land. The way my dad raised us on conservative values, I think, outlasted the liberal mentality. And that's the reason why I speak the way I speak, and the reason why I father my son the way I do today.
Do you think it's fair of you to criticize other black people in terms of what their experience was if it wasn't the same, where maybe they didn't have the father that you did present, and maybe they didn't have what we could consider opportunities that you either made for yourself or you had?
Yeah, I think it's fair to give a judgment on facts. So if a person has a father, and trust me, many young men in my family didn't have a father. They were in prison. Some of them had been killed. Some of them were in the house but not present, if you know what that means. So I've been able to see a wide spectrum. Although my dad was involved, some of my other cousins and family members, their dad wasn't involved. Now, I understand that can be a huge detriment to people in this country, no matter what color you are. If you don't have a strong father, a strong mentor, a strong figure that you can look up to, it can be detrimental. However, that's not an excuse for you to fail in life and not succeed, because the fact of the matter is you live in the United States of America where you have opportunities. So you may have a slower start, but if you do things properly, that means if you have integrity, if you put your best foot forward, graduate from high school, don't have children out of wedlock, and you trust and believe in God, you can be successful in this country, probably even more successful than somebody with the father if you hold those principles true.
Yeah, good point. We had to take a quick break. It's important what you talk about when you say excuses. I'm not saying it from a racial perspective, but that's one of the things that I just want to teach my kids. Don't make excuses. Do your best, but don't make excuses. And that's something that we can talk about after the break regarding a lot of the issues that have come up most recently that's made, Brandon, your business kind of prolific, because there's so much to speak about. And we're going to speak about some of those issues after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And we are back. I'm Alan Gervie. Carrie Kasem is here somewhere. I don't know where. We're expecting her to come into the studio very shortly. I wanted to wish everyone a happy Father's Day. We are speaking to Brandon Tatum. Check him out on his YouTube channel or tweeting at the Officer Tatum. You can Google him and you can hear a lot of what he has to say. Brandon, let's start off. And, you know, I know you've been talking about this for weeks now with George Floyd and now recently with Rashard Brooks. Before we do that, there's an issue that came up a while back, Colin Kaepernick. We've had Colin Kaepernick's attorney on a number of times, Ben Mycelis. Tell us how you feel about the kneeling, because I'm a big sports fan and I'm really concerned about the seasons that may be beginning, whether basketball is going to begin or not, football, whether they're going to have a season, and that's a different issue. But when we talk about kneeling, is that going to take away from the football and the basketball what a lot of people want to watch?
Of course it will. There's no place for kneeling in the NFL or the NBA. If you want to do activism, do it on your own time. You have several months in the off season where you can be an activist and you can kneel in front of the Statue of Liberty if you want to. There's no place on the football field. I'll tell you what, I am not watching the NFL this year. I didn't watch it a few years ago. I tried to give them another chance, but the first time that a player is going to guarantee that they're going to kneel during the national anthem, I'm not watching it. And one of my good friends had season tickets to the Arizona Cardinals for 25 years straight. He just called the manager of the Arizona Cardinals and canceled his season tickets. And they've alluded to the fact that a bunch of people have done the same. There's no room for it, man. Activism in the NFL, there's no room for it.
You know, this week, Kyrie Irving in basketball talked about the players not playing during the season. Easy for him to say because he's out for the season anyway. But making a stance, taking a stance on inequality, racial inequality, saying that the players shouldn't play. It's a little bit different than what you're talking about, although your points are well taken. A lot of people will say, well, it's kneeling, what Colin Kaepernick did, brought a lot of the issues to the forefront, and that's their venue, even though your counterpoint being do it on your own time. A lot of people will say, well, on their own time, it won't have the impact as it does when we watch a game. But tell us what you think about these athletes may be thinking that they're bigger than the game themselves, or the issue is bigger than the game. The white privilege is bigger than the game.
Well, first of all, taking a knee doesn't bring the issues to the forefront for anybody. Normal people in America hate racism. Normal people in America know that black people shouldn't be getting shot for no reason. The racist people in America that they're trying to bring attention to don't care. So none of the kneeling can be attributed to bringing awareness to anything. If anything, it's causing people to lose money. Now, deciding that you are going to take the step, and this is the ignorance of a lot of individuals, especially individuals in the black community, you don't own a team. So if you're going to say that you're not going to play anymore, you are now hurting your financial growth opportunity, and you're hurting the community, and you're hurting the fans that support you on a day-to-day basis. What people should do, instead of being ignorant and fooling with their money and their cash flow, they should play during the game, they should make as much money as they can, and they should put their money together and go do something in the community for young black people and make a difference. But see, when you start from a point of ignorance, because that's exactly what I believe Colin Kaepernick started from, was a point of ignorance, and you really have no solutions, and all you want to do is complain, and you don't want to make anything happen, you're going to end up hurting yourself in the end.
Yeah, I think those are good points. I know a lot of people would differ with those issues, but I think what you focus a lot on, from what I've seen, is excuses. Do you believe that there are too many excuses that, let's say, the Black Lives Matter movement are making? Or is it the only way to get these issues into the media and into the forefront? And I'm sure, you know, when we talk about the media, that's something that people are open to wanting to pursue the issues.
Right. I mean, when you're doing a lot of talking, you're not doing a lot of action, it seems like just excuses to me. People are talking about Black Lives Matter. Everybody knows Black Lives Matter, as well as every other person in this country. There's no one race life that matters more than the other, and police officers matter equally. So when these individuals are coming out and they're just talking and they have signs in their hands, but they're not physically doing anything to make a difference, then I have a huge issue. If Black Lives Matter, it's all of the Black Lives should matter. That mean at the abortion clinic, that mean in the hood when people are getting shot in drive-by shootings, and that means when black officers are killed also by civilians or people who are criminals. So if you want to say that Black Lives Matter, they should matter all the time, and I would like to see a protest and a rally for all of those people who have lost their lives in Chicago, Illinois alone. Just a few weekends ago, 25 people were murdered. That's more than the police officers have killed and unarmed in the last 2 years. And in the spirit of protest, another example of people just talking and making excuses, by you trying to protest the death of one black man, over 9 other black people have died in the midst of these protests and riots and looting scenarios. So I don't want to hear any more talking. I want to hear people do something about it. If Black Lives Matter and some of these activist groups were actually doing something, we wouldn't be complaining about police brutality. We wouldn't be complaining about injustice today if they had been doing some way back when Trayvon Martin had gotten killed by Zimmerman.
You know, as a former police officer, I think you have definitely a specific perspective that others don't. This past week, I heard comments like a black man who becomes a police officer is a blue man and not a black man anymore. I also heard that the black cops are sellouts and Uncle Toms. When you hear that after spending years in the force, in Arizona. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like people are just completely ignorant and out of touch with reality. I'm not black, white, green. I mean, I don't have an alliance to anybody. I'm an American first, and I'm a child of God, and then everything else falls in line. So when I become a police officer, I don't care about race. I don't care about none of that. I'm here to protect and serve every single person that needs my assistance. And when you have people that are going out picking a side, oh, I'm pro-black, or I'm pro-white, or I'm because you're black and you differ from my opinions, somehow you're not black today. I mean, people that do that are completely ignorant, and they're the part of the problem. And those are the same people that are crying racism, 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 when they are the most racist to their own people, and they're the most racist to the people of the opposite race. So when I hear stuff like that, it really don't bother me personally, but it reveals to me how ignorant a lot of people are.
So it doesn't bother you when you hear a term like Uncle Tom? We're going to have Larry Elder on the show in a couple weeks, and he's come out with a documentary along with some other folks called Uncle Tom. That has been a pejorative term, and I know I've talked to Larry a number of times about this, and he isn't bothered by that. In fact, he takes some pride in his perspective. How do you feel about that? And I know, you know, with your movement, the Blexit and Blexit Report with Candace Owens, is that something that you and Candace and Larry and maybe Leo Terrell and some others embrace?
Well, yeah, first of all, I'm a part of that Uncle Tom movie as well. I'm featured in it. But it's something that I take pride in to a certain degree, you know, kind of as a slap, like I guess a slap in the face to these people who call me that thinking it's going to offend me, because that means when you are considered an Uncle Tom as a conservative black person in America, that means you're doing something right, because they cannot argue with you on the merits of what you say. So they throw out a term like Uncle Tom. If anybody's read the Uncle Tom Cabin book, you know that Uncle Tom was actually a hero in the story. So these people who are saying this are completely ignorant. But beyond that, it's just a word to me, just like the N-word, just like other words. It only has the amount of power that you give it. I don't care what people say about me. They're just words. And as long as there's no action that comes behind those words, I could care less.
Now, the film, do you have a release date? Because I know it's in July. Have they announced a release date for the Uncle Tom documentary?
It's June the 19th.
Oh, it's June 19th. Oh, on
Juneteenth. Watch the preview.
Oh.
So it'll be available, I believe, June the 19th. It'll be available to the public, and if people go to UncleTom.com, it'll have all the information you
all
need.
All right, that's good. Now, again, you've also spoken out on the Rashard Brooks killing. Was it excessive force, or do you have a basis as a former police officer to assess whether or not it should be considered excessive force?
Yeah, I mean, it's not excessive force. I mean, they literally went through the spectrum of the use of force continuum to the T. They spoke to him. They were kind to him. They attempted to arrest him. He began to fight them. They didn't use unnecessary strikes. They didn't really do nothing but get thrown around like rag dolls at the beginning. They attempted to tase him, which is a normal progression in use of force continuum. And then he punches him in the face and takes the tase and starts running. Now, here is the part where I believe is justified. And I don't know how anybody can argue this. He turns around and points the taser at the police officer and fires the taser. Now, according to Georgia law, a taser is considered a firearm. A firearm is considered a deadly weapon. So what the gentleman did, Brooks, he pointed a deadly weapon at the officers. If the officers fear, and this is in Georgia law, if the officers fear that their lives are in immediate serious bodily injury or death, then they can utilize deadly force, which will include firing their sidearms. So they're completely justified. It is a shame that they've been fired, or at least one of the officers been fired. And it's a shame that they're trying to bring charges against these two officers.
Well, hopefully justice will prevail one way or another. As an attorney, I always want to listen and look for the evidence. So we'll see how it goes. A couple minutes before we can let you go, Brandon, and I just two more issues I want to touch on. And I appreciate your precise and short answers. You don't have any idea how long I've been interviewing people, and they go on and on and on. You get to the point and move on. So that's what we're going to do. The rapid round. Affirmative action. This week, University of California said they're going to bring it back after 24 years. What's your perspective?
It's racism. It's racism. There's no need for affirmative action in 2020. It's virtue signaling, and it hurts white people who are qualified and other races who are qualified for the job.
And, do you think that it's just the administration buckling under pressure or not?
It's the administration buckling under pressure from the violent political arm of the Democratic Party, which is Black Lives Matter.
On that note, do you think that the administration throughout a lot of states buckled under pressure and didn't say anything about gatherings during COVID for protests and for some of the demonstrations? And now with any Trump gathering, they're saying that, well, they should be respecting the COVID issues.
Right. I think these people are shameful that are making that statement in clear contradiction and clear hypocrisy. Clearly, there were 20,000 people gathering at some of these riots and protests and looting and criminal damage being done. I mean, these are some of these people are criminals out there, not social distancing. They said nothing. And then now all of a sudden they want to talk about, oh, there's an increase in COVID cases, but they're not addressing the fact that all of these people were out all night, 9-10 days in a row, protesting, no masks, no social distancing. These politicians should be ashamed of themselves.
Last week on our show, we had Art Kaplan, who is a bioethicist at the NYU School of Medicine, and he called that a double standard from his perspective, not with respect to race, but with respect to the public health issue. Final issue for you, Brandon Tatum, is EA Sports, racism message. Talk about that, because I know you've done a cool piece on YouTube on EA Sports racism.
Yeah, I think this is a signal, an idea, or not an idea, but a portrayal of brainwashing young people. People who are playing video games, they have nothing to do with race relations, they have nothing to do with racial issues. You're just playing a video game. EA Sports don't even know who's playing the video game. You don't have to log in and be a black or a white person. So for them to virtue signal, for them to put that, and my son got a notification, and he's 9, for them to push this in the face of young people, push this in the face of young men, they should be ashamed of themselves. Oppression of black people and racism of black people in this country is an opinion. That's not a fact. I'm black and I've never dealt with racism or oppression in the United States of America. I know thousands of black people who haven't. So if you have, that's your opinion. If you haven't, then you have a side to speak on as well. But to blatantly throw out a statement like that is shameful to me. And to be honest, I'm sick of it.
All right. Well, Brandon, I want to thank you for being with us, and I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. It sounds like you're raising your 9-year-old really well, and that's appreciated. Whatever color you are, or whoever, whatever the circumstances are, you can find Brandon on his YouTube channel, at the Officer Tatum, tweeting, and enjoy the rest of your Father's Day today, Brandon.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to you as well.
Thanks, appreciate it. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Go together like a horse and carriage. This,
all right, I can break in when they start talking about a carriage. A baby carriage. Yeah, I'm Alan Gervie, and Carrie Kasem has joined me here in studio.
I'm here.
Finally.
I'm here.
You missed a good first half with Brandon Tatum.
Oh, I listened.
But now you are here, so we can talk about something that, you know, you interestingly may have a perspective, because it's okay for me to say that you're in your 40s. You look like you're in your 30s. You're in your 40s.
I am. I'll be 48 next month.
And you have no children?
No.
And that's a choice you've made?
Yes. I have nieces. I have, my boyfriend has a kid. I'm happy like that. It's great for me.
And for me, I think I'm more like Christy Katzman, who is joining us now, because part of my life's objective was to have kids.
Yeah.
And I had them a little bit later. And I'm loving being a father. And so on this Father's Day, it's a special day for me, not because I get attention. It's more about celebrating my kids. And my kids are 6 and 7. I adore them. I want to spend every minute with them. And I'm hoping that Christy Katzman will have the same experience. If you haven't seen Labor of Love on Fox on Thursday at 9 p.m., you have to check it out. It's ongoing right now. Maybe we'll get some secrets. favorites. Maybe we won't. But Christy Katzman is the star of the reality dating show, the mother-to-be, hopefully. And or maybe she is already pregnant. We don't know because they taped it a little while ago. And the show is hosted by Kristen Davis from Sex and the City. It's a story of dachlers, not bachelors, but dachlers who are eliminated week after week after Christy decides who would be a great father. On this Father's Day, Christy, what a pleasure to have you on Gervie's Law.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi.
It's great to have
I love the dachlers. I love that.
I know. It's so good.
It is.
This is a real thing.
So, Christy, I have to ask you, because you've obviously put a lot of thought into this. We have a lot of people listening, and people want to know, what is someone looking for in a dad? Because if you watch the show, there's so many different perspectives. And I remember, I think it was two shows ago when, I can't remember who it was that was eliminated. Maybe it was Alan. And by the way, you should never eliminate Alan. Alan is a great dad. And he was pretty hot, too.
Because he has your same name. I love it.
Wait, what do you... He's Why kidding. Do you say he's a great dad? I'm going to have to call you on that one.
Because that's my name, and
it's
I know
his name. It's his name. He's just saying, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
And he even spells it the same way that I do.
Aww.
So, yeah, I'm only talking about myself, not the guy who was eliminated. But tell us what you're looking for, because I think you said, you know, I don't see you as the father that I'm looking for.
And that's a tough thing, because I think, you know, myself included, I haven't really had to approach dating this way. I mean, I have, but not in the sense that I'm putting the guys literally to the test, right? This has not been done, you know, not even in my own life. So that was a little bit of a process for me as well. You know, I think the first thing and kind of the overriding theme that I knew that I wanted was, if I was going to do this with someone, I really wanted to partner with someone who wanted to be a hands-on dad. That was really the big hit that I was looking for with these men.
You know what's really cool about this is, if you do pick a guy and you have these kids, right? They grow up and they get to see mommy and daddy falling in love and meeting for the first time. Who gets to see that? Like, never.
I know. Is that great? Or is
I
that
think
terrifying?
It's awesome.
We thought our home movies were bad enough.
I think it's awesome.
A whole other level.
It is.
You know, I have to ask you, because I know you've considered this. Aren't you concerned about a guy saying what he says just to try to please you, especially when it comes to being a parent? Because a lot of experiences
yeah.
that people have had is the guy says everything he wants to say that he thinks you want to hear regarding being a dad. And then when the baby comes, he's like, I'm not changing a diaper. I'm not staying home. I want to go out with the boys.
Right. Yeah. I mean, absolutely, you know, but there's some drills coming up that we haven't seen yet that is going to do a little bit of that sorting for me. I'll say that. So you can say whatever you want, but one of the great things about this show is the drills, which are kind of like the group dates, are really designed to test these men's parenting skills. So say what you will, but we put them to the test.
I think this
is
great.
So some of that stuff that you mentioned actually gets very sorted out. And we're all going to witness that together to see who really makes the cut and who really needs to go home.
I think this is great. This is better than online dating, app dating, whatever. You get to actually see. You get to experience. These are real tests you'd like to put anybody you're going to date through. I think that's just, you know, I'd like to see it for myself. But, I mean, honestly,
yeah.
Why are we not taught this stuff in school? Why are we not taking classes? As I mean, in high school, you know, you're taught everything else except how to balance a checkbook, how to invest your money, how to raise your kid, how to change your diapers. You know, that would be the ultimate, I think, test, is watching from high school to college and really understanding how to be a dad, right? Then you would get
it. Yeah, I mean, for women too, you know, I feel like it's so interesting because you're so right. And at the end of the day, I think this is the stuff that ultimately ends up meaning so much to us. And we aren't taught this. And
right.
I think I would include myself in this. I always knew I'd pursue career first. I always knew there were a lot of things that I wanted to do in my life. But I also always assumed that the marriage and family piece would just fall into place.
why do we assume that?
And it doesn't.
I don't know, but we do.
Yeah. And it's like 1 out of 3, especially in California, are divorced. 1 out of 2, I think, now in California. It doesn't fall into place. And people, I think, do need to understand the responsibility of being a mom or being a dad. It's a lot. And it's a lot on a relationship.
You know, and I give you a lot of credit
really
for taking the bull by the horns, so to speak, because a lot of people would be either embarrassed or they feel like, oh, this is something that I'm not going to push. But sometimes in life, you have to push things. You have to make it happen because due to circumstances, it may not. Now, you were on The Bachelor back in 2007 when Brad Womack was The Bachelor. You were eliminated in week 5.
First time.
Yeah. And he ended up rejecting all of the bachelorettes who were vying for the job. But the fact of the matter is, you don't know what twists and turns life will take you on. And you are now saying, you know, I'm old enough. I've frozen my eggs with the help of Dr. Brian Kaplan, and I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah. I mean, I love that you said all of that because all of it is true. And I think there's an element to this that I really try to be clear with people on, you know, I know this seems like this crazy outside the box thing to do, but is it really? You know, I think it's very much what you're saying. This is not how I envisioned my life. You know, I did not see this in my future. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I found myself at 41, still single and still wanting to have a family. So, you know, my choice really was to give up on that dream or to be open to a different way to make that happen. And I chose the latter, you know. So one thing I think that I really like about myself is I'm not afraid to take a big chance. I'm not saying it always works out. But for me, I would much rather take a chance and get the things that I want than to wonder when all is said and done what could have been.
And I bet
so
there are a lot of people.
There might be some heat I take in this process, but I'm willing to take it because I think the benefits, you know, far outweigh the negatives in this situation.
Let me say this, Christy. I bet there are a lot of women specifically who are maybe secretly and quietly jealous of you because you are taking advantage of this opportunity where a number of women, especially women who are interested, obviously, in a family, it's easier to date. It's easier to go out and date. But you're so focused that maybe this really is something that people, while they may be giggling about, really are respectful and envious of. Have you come across that?
Yeah, I mean, I actually, you know, this is my story. I think it truly is my story, and I think that's why it works. You know, for the show to work, they, I think, really had to align with a woman who was already on this path. And, you know, I do kind of believe in playing the cards you've been dealt. And for me, the show really came across my plate when these were the things that I was going through. You know, that being said, so many of my friends are in this situation. So many women that I know are in this situation. So it is happening. The issue is we're just not talking about it. It's just not being put out there. So this is a really big thing for me, and wanting what I'm hoping to get out of this or kind of put out there in society is to give this a voice because it is my story, but it's not just my story. I think this is the story of so many women today. And I think a kind of counterpart to that, and you'll see this more as the kind of second half of the show unfolds. This is the story of all these men too. You know, obviously women have a biological clock. It's a little more of a hard stop than men, but all these men are around 40 and they also did not see themselves in this position where they wouldn't have started a family yet. So I think there's this really big demographic out there and a lot of people in this dating pool dealing with these issues, but we're just not talking about
right.
it.
And you know,
so
it almost,
anything, I want to give it a voice.
Yeah. And it's good that you're doing that because I think a lot of us think about it, but life just goes by. You know, you're dating someone, you're dating, and then you break up and you don't realize the time passes and one of your objectives to have a family just gets lost and you lose perspective.
Or you have a cat or two or three or four.
And sometimes that can be something you want to replace
crazy
your family.
Lady.
Christy, we have to take a quick break. We're going to have a little bit of time after the break, and this is where we're going to pump you, so be prepared. We want to find out, you know, what you're looking like now, whether, you know, your stomach's a little bigger than it was before, you know, you changed jobs, and maybe you're not in Chicago anymore, and maybe we can get a few hints. We don't want to screw up, you know, the whole show and
the whole contract so she can get sued and lose everything.
No, we don't want to do any of that, but be prepared. You're going to get cross-examined by a stellar attorney after the break.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm holding my breath.
Well, you're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back. Yeah, and we're back on this Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of you out there. And perhaps Christy Katzman's partner at some point will be hearing those Happy Father's Day accolades and salutations. We're talking to Christy Katzman, who is the star of Labor of Love on Fox Thursday nights at 9 p.m. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you do. It's very entertaining, and there's some really good-looking people on the show as well. It's hosted by Kristen Davis from Sex and the City. Christy, before the break, we talked about some of the things that we read about you and how maybe your life has changed since you taped the show. I think it was back in 2019. So, by the way, people who are thinking they weren't social distancing were words that they didn't know about when they taped the show. You were living in Chicago, holistic health and beauty expert from Chicago. It appears that you've changed jobs. You're at Aura Organics in San Diego?
That's the home office.
That's the home office. That's what I thought. They have offices all around, right?
Yeah. The nature of sales is, you know, people are everywhere.
Are you enjoying your new job?
Yes.
She can't say
anything. She's got an attorney standing beside her. Yeah. I love it. Christy, you're brilliant.
Great. And there's offices everywhere.
I could have gone into law, you guys. I wish
my clients were this good.
So good.
Well,
so
on the witness stand. So you're enjoying your job.
Well, I do want to give a shout out to my employers. Honestly, the truth is because they have been amazing with me through this process. You know, I've obviously had a lot of changes. I've had a lot of things that I've been going through. And, you know, kudos to them because I think this is all talking about the way modern life unrolls. And to have an employer who is willing to work with you as you go through changes has been valuable. So I will say not only is it a great fit because it really aligns with everything that I've done in my career development, but I happen to have bosses who are very open to what happens in life and changes you may or may not have to make. I will say that.
What is their policy for maternity leave?
You're so bad. Okay. I have a question.
You know what? They are pro-family. They are pro-supporting their employees. And I'm very fortunate in that way. And I know that.
Okay, so now what if you pick a guy, you fall in love, and he happens to be sterile? Now, do they test before? Is that one of the,
Yes, we tested them live on TV.
Right.
I did not see that one. I did not see that.
And you let the guy with all the swimmers go.
Oh, no.
Were you impressed? What was that guy's?
You guys, what I have to tell you, I mean, the sperm count went from like 7 million to 350 million. So talking about God's really being stacked in the favor of some men over others.
Wow.
That's a serious difference.
Yeah,
Did the producers check on that to make sure that when you did that show that they were going to have some sperm that was some good stuff waiting for action?
I mean, and I had to go through testing too. This was part of the preliminary testing for the show. I mean, we all had to go through fertility testing. We just also made the guys go through it again on live TV because why would you not?
Exactly. Of course. I have to watch that. I have to go back and watch.
I can't believe it. You go to the Fox site.
I'm going to. Because I'm watching the show. I'm watching stuff, you know, but I have to watch.
If everyone wants to get up to date, you can see the old shows and then you can be right up to date. A lot of people have said that it's really important for the two people to get to know each other and to fall in love for the right reasons, to be parents for the right reasons. Has that ever bothered you when the father-to-be and the mother-to-be maybe are more focused on having a baby versus really caring about each other, making for good parents?
Well, yeah, but I would argue that that's not what's happening in the show. You know, I think until you really see the show, it's hard to know. People are going to have their own opinions about it. But I know for me, I was really prepared for three different outcomes. You know, that was really to fall in love with someone that I could also see as the future father of my children. It was to find someone that I could co-parent with, or it was to continue on the journey myself. So I was coming out a winner no matter what.
Now, question for you. Do you really think it's possible to co-parent without somebody you've actually known for a very long time? Like a good friend, somebody you've known 10, 20 years, finding somebody on a show and then trying to co-parent. Wouldn't that be hard instead of having that, like you said, that romantic relationship?
I do. And I will tell you, like going in, that was I was open to it, but that was my biggest long shot of the options. To me, it really was tipping towards having it work out with one of these men. Continuing on my own journey. Now, in the past, before the show crossed my plate, like I had certainly had that conversation with a good friend of mine, and we had dated in the past. So I agree with you. You know, at that point, you know, obviously we were not together anymore, but we're still friends, and we had had those discussions, and the show kind of crossed my plate shortly thereafter. So, yeah, but you know, I think part of this is a little bit experimental, you know, even for me. And so I kind of left that on the table as an option because I truly didn't know anything about these men or what the experience would be like until I really was in it.
We only have a minute left, so just let us know what you just talked about. Who was it that you felt most strongly about that you wanted to have your child with?
You're going straight up spoiler.
Wait a second. Are you refusing to answer the question?
Say goodbye to Gerby's Law. This is our last episode.
How do I answer?
You don't have to answer. That's okay. I want people to watch. Did it start with a T maybe? A K, an M, a K, a
it's G, definitely not a
S. And I read somewhere that you're really happy in your lot of life right now. So I don't know what that means, whether, you know, you're just real comfortable with where you are or whether you're pregnant. So I'm not going to ask you that. But we're happy to hear that you are very happy. And we want everyone to watch to see how it all comes out Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time and here in L.A., 8 Central on Fox. Christy Katzman, good luck. With next
Thank
year
you.
Being able to have someone say to your partner, Happy Father's Day for next year. And we appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right, well, that's going to do it for our Father's Day special. We're wishing everyone out there who celebrates Father's Day a Happy Father's Day. And to my wonderful kids, I am so proud and so honored and just so happy to be your daddy.
Aw, and I just want to say Happy Father's Day to my wonderful stepdad, Bob. And Happy Father's Day to my father in heaven. I love you, Dad.
And to mine is in heaven as well. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on KBC Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie, Carrie Kasem. Thanks for listening.
I didn't get to tell him.